Day, United States v. Johnson. Day.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. I am here on behalf of Mr. Jermaine Johnson regarding his issues, including the two-point reduction for the recently enacted crack cocaine amendment. There are two issues raised in this particular appeal, but they're very closely intertwined. They have to do with whether or not Mr. Johnson's attempt to get his two-level reduction was actually a collateral attack, and if not, whether the court then erred when it denied the correction of his pre-sentence report and a revised pre-sentence report, and of course then denied the grant and reduction. I say that these are closely intertwined issues because both hinge upon the correction of the pre-sentence report and whether or not the court can do that. And in looking at this, I think that the court does have the jurisdiction to correct the original pre-sentence report. What we're talking about here is different from other cases that have raised this issue. Mr. Johnson was sentenced to pursuant to a change of plea and plea agreement where he agreed that his relevant conduct amount was in excess of 1.5 kilograms of crack cocaine. Prior to the crack cocaine amendment being enacted, the guidelines were revised and set another cutoff point. Used to be, with the time that Mr. Johnson was sentenced, that anybody who was responsible for 1.5 kilograms or more of crack cocaine was at the highest level available. In 2006, that was amended, and there was a second cutoff point, 4.5. So if anybody who fell within the 1.5 and the 4.5 would be actually two levels lower than they had been. That's of great import now that we have the crack retroactivity amendment, because those people who had between 1.5 and 4.5 kilograms of crack cocaine in their relevant conduct are now eligible for that two-level reduction. But for those who have 4.5 and above, they are not eligible. There are numerous cases that address this issue of whether or not somebody who has 4.5 kilograms of crack cocaine is eligible for this reduction. In fact, this court has decided that no, they're not eligible for reduction. And there are numerous cases that have tried to raise this and try to get courts to recalculate their guidelines. They do that, however, not for the same reasons that Mr. Johnson does. Mr. Johnson has an inherent mathematical error on the face of the pre-sentence report. It is not an argument that Mr. Johnson was not responsible for the conduct listed in the pre-sentence report. And that is very different from any arguments or any cases that I can find from any of the cases that are listed in the government's reply brief or response brief.
Let me ask you, isn't it true that the defendant isn't really challenging mathematical calculation, but rather is challenging the variables that went into the mathematical calculation in the first place? In other words, the defendant is saying, in arriving at the amount of crack cocaine, the probation officer did not use a conservative estimate of 2 ounces per week, but instead used the higher reported amount. So we're not talking about adding up amounts and getting the wrong total. We're talking about the variables that you use in determining the amounts you're going to use for the totals.
Well, I think those variables do affect and impact the total and impact the math, but there are actually more problems with the math than just that. And as it was noted in argument before the district court, probation actually found that when they reviewed this, that there was an even larger change. And when you look at the pre-sentence report, there are several things that are wrong with it. There is the fact that they say that they are going to use the conservative estimates, and then they do not. That is one of the, I guess you would call it a variable in there, because they did not use. The ranges were, for instance, from 2 to 4 ounces over a period of time, and they used 4 ounces every single time. There's also a spot in the pre-sentence report where they combine powder and crack cocaine. And in that particular, there are separate calculations that you do if there is powder cocaine and crack cocaine. And they didn't do that. They actually added powder cocaine and crack cocaine in paragraph 27 of the pre-sentence report. And then there's another error issue in that they decide that they're going to count this over a 10-month period, but the information that they use only covers a 7-month period from June to December. So there are numerous mathematical errors. There are numerous errors that relate to the mathematics that were used in this particular case. And I think it's also important to note that we are talking about a difference of 36 grams here. Any one of those errors would have resulted in a reduction greater than that 36 grams, but he was only over the 4.5 kilograms by an amount of 36 grams, which makes this an even worse error, I believe, because now, I mean, at the time, I'm sure I didn't handle the case. I got it to review, actually. I think I was the first one to review this case, although it is not mine. I'm here arguing for another attorney today. But it's facially obvious that there is a mistake.
Even if there was a mistake, I'm still unsure as to what authority the district court had to change the drug amount in the pre-sentence report.
I think that the court could do that pursuant to Rule 36 at any time. They could not have changed the sentence. So if they had made the correction in 2005 when the guidelines still said 1.5 kilograms or above, they could not have, for instance, gone with probation 2 levels lower and reduced a sentence.
But 36 is limited to errors that are clerical in nature, not judicial mistakes.
Well, I think that that any errors within the pre-sentence report, that I think this could be characterized as a clerical error. We're saying it's arithmetic. It is. But when you look at that, it results in a final error that could be characterized as clerical. So I think that is one obvious way that we get there. I think also that because courts have the ability to revise pre-sentence reports in order to do the 2-level reduction, that they can also get there in that manner. There is nothing that says that they cannot correct mathematical or other errors when they do that. And there is a great deal of support for the fact that courts have been doing it regularly, and nobody has complained, and nobody has said that they cannot, when looking at this crack retroactivity issue, revise a pre-sentence report. It's been done regularly.
Doesn't Rule 35A deal with arithmetic errors?
Rule 35A does specifically deal with those in the context of the sentence imposed. At the time that the sentence is imposed, yes, and you have a limited time period in which to correct that. For instance, if somebody...
Seven days.
Yes, and right. If they had done a... For instance, if one of the cases was that the court stated that they were imposing a term of supervision upon revocation instead of 2 separate terms to run concurrently, they could not go back later and correct that because that actually went to the essence of the sentence itself. And in this case, we don't have that situation.
You're into your rebuttal time.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that's more, Mr. Liggins.
Good morning again, Your Honors. The I guess at the starting place is that under 3582, it requires that in order to be afforded relief, you have to fall within the guidelines set by the Sentencing Commission. And the Sentencing Commission determined that anybody with more than 4.5 kilograms could not get relief under the crack cocaine amendment. And if you can't get relief through 3582, there's no jurisdiction for this court or for the district court to proceed any further. Now, this defendant is in that position. He had 4,536 grams. He was 36 grams over the line, and there is no jurisdiction for the court to go in and revise the pre-sentence report, as counsel has suggested, because you don't get to that place to begin with. On the cases that counsel referred to where the courts have gone in and done that, they were people who had less than 4.5 kilograms of crack cocaine. And the other provisions that counsel made reference to, as this court pointed out, the faulty math argument, Rule 35 limits that type of a challenge to 7 days. The argument that the Rule 36, regarding clerical errors, that the district court could have corrected it that way, that situation only arises, the clerical error, for the written judgment differs from the oral pronouncement at sentencing. That's the only time that provision has any application. So it is and will continue to be our position that the court simply did not have jurisdiction to afford the defendant the relief he requested. And if there are no questions, I'll yield my time.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I would just reiterate that we do believe that the lower court had the ability to correct the mathematical error and then to review the case.
The ability, the question is, you have the jurisdiction.
I should rephrase that then and say that we believe that he did have the jurisdiction to do so. We don't believe that this constituted a collateral attack at that point and that he should have been able to do that and then determine whether he wished to resentence Mr. Johnson. If there are no further questions.
Case will be taken under advisement. Thanks to both sides for the splendid arguments.